KMPL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty and Charlie, and the sort of full body high you get when there's two men's national team games in one day. Still reverberating. It's still all happening. Charlie, we're recording this early in the morning. You said we were just talking before. You're a little tired, but we both said that those games were quite good. Canada beating Bermuda to open World Cup qualifying 5-1. That game was good for many different reasons. And then we'll also get to the under-23s drawing with Honduras and moving on in the Olympic qualifiers to take on Mexico this weekend. But again, we have to talk about Bermuda. We have to talk about Alphonso Davies with 3 assists, Kyle Larin with 3 goals. Lucas Cavallini probably should have had how many goals? 2?
Like at least 3? At least 4. 2, yeah.
I was rewatching it this morning. Davies could have had 5 assists if Cavallini finished those easily. 2 clear cut chances.
Easily.
So this was the Alphonso Davies show, Charlie, and I know you're eager to talk about this, so let's get into it. You know, you think about November 2019, the last time that the men's national team played a competitive game with a full strength side, completely different time for Alphonso Davies in his professional career, right? He comes into this game against Bermuda, and within the first, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you realize, oh yeah, this is going to be the Alphonso Davies Canada will have going forward, right?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I think, back in like the fall of 2019, when he was coming to Toronto for those Nations League games, I mean, he wasn't really starting for Bayern yet. I think he was actually getting suspended by the team for missing training at one point. I remember that it just happened before one of the Canada camps. But since then, he's become a starter, become one of the best left backs in the whole world, won the Champions League, won the Club World Cup, won the Bundesliga, won who cares what else, like everything. We haven't seen that in a Canada jersey yet. And he showed up on Thursday night with, like, there's no other way to say it. He came with superstar energy, right? He walked into that game and he's like, okay, I am the guy here. I'm going to take every set piece. I'm going to kind of control every attacking play. It's all going to go through me. And we're just going to mop the floor with these guys. And it was remarkable.
Yeah, so slots in at left wing. As we mentioned, those 3 assists to Kyle Larin. I think he had something like 8 key passes on the day. But you're right. It was the confidence and the ability to, I think about like the 2017 Gold Cup when Davies scored. I think that was against Costa Rica. I just had a vision of that last night and thinking about like how much of a different player that is now in terms of just like the ability to just take the ball and be patient with it, or in some cases like just split Bermuda in half. I think it made the biggest difference for Canada going forward, right? Obviously with those 3 assists to Larin, who also had his stock rise, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we definitely need to talk about Larin as well. But just, I mean, last on Davies, he's clearly just a complete professional now. Like, he's such a different player that there probably isn't a player in all of CONCACAF that, can drive a team forward like that. I don't even know if that's that controversial.
No, it's not. Yeah, even if you said that, I was like, no, it's probably good.
Yeah, I mean, Raul Jimenez.
Maybe.
Don't ask me about Christian Pulisic, because I'm not gonna give you that one. Anyway, Kyle Larin, though.
Yeah. I mean,
what a turnaround, right? He's just so in form in Besiktas. Like, he's scoring goals for fun there with Atiba Hutchinson, might add. And it's just so obvious that he was in form and confident. And I think that's something that we haven't seen from him in a Canada jersey. It was kind of weird to me last night, like watching Twitter, when Cavallini would miss something and everybody on the timeline is automatically like, Larin would have scored that. And it's wild to me that Kyle Larin is now the he would have scored that guy for Canada, considering what we've seen from him for this national team in the past. And it's just amazing how quickly things can change.
Kyle, that he would have scored that guy. Yeah. So Larin plays as a withdrawn striker sort of, you know, kind of that, like that, yeah, that second striker in Canada's system and kind of like an attacking midfielder. But he was, as you mentioned, he was clearly in form. He was getting into places and creating in the midfield. Like, I don't think we've ever seen him do that for Dad. Cavallini didn't have the best game. So, and you are for Laren specifically within the national team. Of course, it's just Bermuda. Of course, it's just the first game in World Cup qualifying. There's still another handful to go in this round before moving on to take on Haiti, which would be, you know, the first real big test of this qualifying campaign. But what does this do for Kyle Laren right now?
Well, I mean, I think it's impossible to drop him, right? I think it's in something where the margins will be fairly slim in World Cup qualifying. I mean, as you mentioned, maybe that matchup with Haiti where you got to win or that's it. And then if, knock on wood, Canada ends up in that octagon, like you're still you don't have a whole lot of margin for error because you have to, I think you have to come in the top four of that, right?
Yeah.
So you can't afford not to play the hot hand, right? And if Laren is the guy that is scoring.
If you have Laren and Jonathan David.
Yeah. You
know, David replaces Cavallini. For me, that's the way that Canada should play. Laren's proved that, and he has the physicality to play, I think, against some of the more like difficult CONCACAF teams, that he can play that role quite well because he's obviously great technically, but he has the body and the ability to shield the ball and to, you know, use a player like Steven Eustachio, who I thought had a great game yesterday. Well, except for those misses that he kept skying into the, you just don't need to shoot Steven. Other than that, it was good. But, you know, he has that ability, I think, to be something that CONCACAF teams might have a bit of trouble with. And Jonathan David. And then Alfonso Davies, Junior Hoylett. I think that has to be your front four.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Laren has so many new tools in his toolbox this year, I think. Like, he'll make that kind of trailing run at the top of the box we saw him do a couple times, which was pretty amazing. And if the guy in front of him there is Jonathan David, I mean, you're going to score against pretty much any team in CONCACAF with a couple of those plays. I think the front four thing, it really worked. I think it'll be maybe a little difficult to pull out against, say, a Mexico or the United States, where you throw four men forward and attack, and then maybe there's a lot more space in between, like your fullbacks and your midfielders. So maybe you move to a front three for something like that, or maybe to be honest, you put Davies at fullback in one of those games. But that's a whole basket of.
we don't have time to talk about that today. We don't have time.
No, nobody has time to figure that out. But it's just really entertaining football that this Canadian team is playing, and they've got so many ways of hurting you. I think we saw last night a couple times. The Bermudans got burned by Davies on that wing a few times, so understandably they sold out a little bit. But then Richie Larea comes down the other wing, and all of a sudden you can't cheat over to one side anymore because you've got another Ferrari on the other wing. So it's just fascinating how many tools they have.
Exactly. And we're almost 9 minutes into this, and I do have to say, Charlie, we gotta pump the brakes on this Ferrari just a little bit. Canada taking on Cayman Islands on Sunday. Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern time on One Soccer. Great broadcast from One Soccer last night. That was fantastic. Two back-to-back games. Credit to them. This is just Bermuda. I recommended in our group chat last night that we come up with a Canadian soccer sort of like meditation routine where everyone sort of calms their nerves about some of this. I'm not sure what we'd use for imagery. Maybe I was thinking like the 2013 Gold Cup, just like some like real disappointing results make you think about Montserrat for a second. Close your eyes, breathe.
Because
he's closing his eyes. Because I mean, this is a great start, but it is, you know, Bermuda wasn't even full strength. They had a couple COVID-19 cases or protocols put in place, and were missing, you know, they were also missing Nacky Wells and Reggie Lamb, who Reggie Lamb of Toronto FC fame, who's their all-time leader in caps. Like, this wasn't the best team that Canada will face in this tournament. How do you, after we're just talking for 9 minutes about how great this is, how do you level those expectations about how Canada's played?
Yeah. Sorry. Reggie Lamb, by the way, who was watching and talking trash on Twitter, I might add. Anyway.
That's sweet. I can look that up after this.
Yeah. Was he playing the ninth division in England? Anyway. You do have to temper your expectations. It's Bermuda, and then Cayman Islands on Sunday are ranked significantly even lower than them in the FIFA rankings. I think they're 193rd. So these aren't the teams that you compete with for World Cup places. That's hopefully going to come. But I think you can't do anything other than beat the team in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really, really interesting sign and a good sign just to see how up for it the Canadian team as a whole was, even for a game like this. Like, it seems, I mean, first of all, they managed to get all of these guys, including Atiba Hutchinson, into a camp to play Bermuda, yep, which is remarkable on its own. And just the way that they played, I mean, these guys desperately want to make this World Cup, I think. And yeah, I think just having these games that aren't friendlies, like, there is actually, even though it's a, you know, a CONCACAF minnow, for lack of a better term, these are competitive games with something on the line, and it means something to these guys. Like, you could see it when they were scoring it. They're really, really happy to be there.
Well said. Yeah, and it's tough. I try to think about other sort of World Cup qualification campaigns that start really well, because objectively they all do for Canada, because they'll start in the first, yeah, or second round, and then they'll beat, I think, yeah, they beat Dominica last time around in the 2018 qualifier. Try to compare it to that, and yeah, I end up happy regardless. Okay, Atiba Hutchinson, 38 years old, coming over from Besiktas, like you said, played the full 90 minutes, second all-time in caps for Canada, now I think four behind Julian De Guzman. It's crazy that he came. It's mind-boggling how good this team is. You already mentioned that, but like, Atiba Hutchinson is playing against Bermuda in 2021.
Right? I know. It's amazing. It almost feels to me like, if you're Atiba and you know that you're 38, you're probably, you don't know how many years left you have, especially how many years left you have of playing international football. I mean, I think some of us thought he had no years left of playing international football. But I mean, how many more chances is he going to have to come play with Alphonso Davies, for instance? Mm-hmm. Right? So it seems like, for everything John Herdman's been saying, it sounds like it was Atiba Hutchinson specifically being like, yeah, I want to come play at this camp. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, we should mention, he is going back to Turkey after this Bermuda game, so he won't be available for the second one. But it's still just amazing how committed he's been to this team over the years, and I mean, how much he's kind of been the guy that's always there. He's been the constant for Canada, and he's still here, and he's still amazing. He's 38, but he's still, yeah, a fantastic soccer player playing at some of the best football of his career in Turkey right now. Just kind of with that 1-2 punch with Kyle Larin, it's amazing. I think we can't do anything but just applaud Atiba Hutchinson.
Yeah, and think about, was it French Guiana that Canada played in Vancouver? Was that 2 years ago now? When everyone was sort of talking, yeah, about, oh, that's probably it. You'll probably play the Gold Cup. And then that was two years ago. 24 months mm-hmm. ago, and he's flying to Florida to take on Bermuda in the middle of his season. Okay, quickly, Theo Corbianu, Wolves prospect, Canada prospect, gets his first cap, first goal, off of a lovely cross from Liam Fraser, by the way. Liam Miller. thoughts on his performance? We were already kind of talking about it's a shame he didn't end up with the under 23s because they really could use that attacking punch. We'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that.
There's lots to talk about in that front. But a great start from a player that frankly Canadian soccer fans have heard a lot about. And you know, you can seek out as many Wolves second team streams all you want, but here he is doing it in a Canada jersey, right?
Yeah, there's a ton of hype surrounding this kid coming into this camp, and everybody was really excited to see him play. And for me, he lived up to it. It's one game. And again, we have to say every time it's one game against Bermuda, but I mean, he came into the game and he was immediately maybe the most noticeable player on the pitch. Right. I think because he was making these runs up through midfield. I think he made one pass through like three different lines of defense to David Weatherspoon that just blew my mind completely.
Because he was kind of running away, like he was kind of running laterally or even behind back towards.
Yeah, he kind of just threaded it off his blind shoulder through like six guys. It was unbelievable. And obviously he scores on his debut, which is amazing. He managed to get himself into a really perfect spot. Honestly, I think the only player that seemed to play with more confidence and I mean swagger than Corbiani was probably Davies himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was just all over the place, and Corbiani clearly really wanted to make an impression, and I really think he did that. I mean, honestly, I'd probably start him on Sunday.
Yeah, he should. Cayman Islands, Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. On One Soccer. What's your biggest takeaway going into this game, Charlie? Like you said, no Atiba Hutchinson. This team might be changed a little bit. Cayman Islands, you know, Bermuda is probably your second most important game of this group behind Suriname. But, you know, what's your biggest takeaway going into this one?
Well, I'd like to see the clean sheet this time. No weird handling errors from Milan Borjan, please. I mean, it was a fluke. It's not like they broke down defensively, but I mean, you still don't really want to get scored on in a game like that. And I think, obviously, I'd like to see Cavallini score. Because I think you need to bury one of those, and just for confidence reasons. You know, I mean, we know he's not match fit. He's not particularly sharp after so much time off. But you'd like to see him get one on the board just for his own sake.
Well said. Okay, another doubleheader on Sunday. The Canadian under 23s, the Olympic team. Are you ready for another doubleheader?
No, I don't think they're right back to back like they were last night, though.
Yeah,
I think the Olympic game is at like 9.
Yeah, they're a bit spaced out. Sunday night on One Soccer, Canada taking on Mexico. Winner goes on to Tokyo. I guess we have to talk about the breadth of the group stage. And specifically the result last night as we were recording this against Honduras, a 1-1 draw, Derek Cornelius getting the goal there off of a beautiful diving header. But, you know, to be honest with you, Charlie, and the audience, like, you know, starts with Tejan Buchanan's brace against El Salvador. Great start. Great story for him. That 0-0 against Haiti. Okay, well, you know, there's still some margin here, and Canada does advance, but I think we can all agree that the group stage wasn't necessarily what Mauro Biello and what Canadian soccer fans, frankly, had in mind, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think especially in the Honduras game and for large parts of the Haiti game as well, this Canada team didn't look particularly threatening from open play. I mean, there were a few counterattacks and things like that, but I mean, you would like to see a little bit more. And I think maybe part of the problem, especially through the second half, was that this team was obviously dead tired with a lot of these forwards having just not really played this kind of high intensity football in such a short turnaround in a very long time. And it was pretty obvious to see some of the Canadians kind of, you know, losing a little steam down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But even in the first half, I don't know if they were necessarily stretching out the Honduran team as much as they would have wanted to. I mean, they didn't really have the ball that much, which might have been fine. I mean, you probably expect to absorb some pressure from Honduras, but you'd want to maybe spring a couple more counterattacks or something like that.
Yeah, I guess I guess my main concerns going into the game against Mexico is that, like, for one, Tejan Buchanan has had a good tournament, but if you ask me, like, have any other attackers stood out? I would say like no, or any, like, even like midfielders. I think like Metcalf has had a good tournament. I think Michael Baldissimo has as well. But like going forward, it's been pretty dull to say the least.
Yeah.
And now Derek Cornelius goes down injured in that game against Honduras. Don't know exactly what his fitness is, but like, you know, Callum Montgomery, who has been battling some sort of injury in camp. Like now you're kind of getting whittled down a little bit at the back and playing Mexico. You know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah, those are my main issues. And I mean, frankly, like, if we're going to be honest, you're not going to hold a clean sheet against Mexico.
No,
that's not happening.
Not.
You need to score. So how does Canada score?
Yeah. Well, that's first a question. Off, my main concern, is that Mexico is really, really good.
Yes. But, that's besides the point. Canada could definitely would want to play the United States. But has to play Mexico,
yes,
because they didn't win their group.
And they could have if they'd scored one goal against Haiti, but that is in the past now, and it's healthy to move on. But yeah, I think in terms of the attacking side, there are players that I think we've expected a lot from. I think it's been disappointing so far from Theo Bear and Charles-Andreas Brim. Neither of whom have really shown what they showed at the men's team camp last January. When they played really well in those friendlies. It's not to say that they can't pull that out. I mean, absolutely all you need is like one moment and all of a sudden you've had a great tournament, especially if that moment comes in a semifinal against Mexico. But yeah, it's been a little predictable at times from some of these guys. Not utilizing the pace at a lot, especially fullbacks like Rogiard might have. I think that's something that Canada would want to take advantage of a little bit more in the first half, earlier in a game, before everybody's gassed. I think you just need to find some kind of spark, something new, and maybe something a little bit more creative in the middle as well, which for me means bringing Lucas Diaz on a lot earlier, because I think he's been really, really good and progressively better with each of these games. There was one run he made last night against Honduras where he wheeled through like three guys and laid it off to Brim, and then Brim kind of stood there and tried to take on three defenders
four.
In front of him.
I think it was four.
And Diaz is just standing there like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like standing there just making that face. He's like, pass me the ball, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was a very disappointing sequence. Very disappointing.
So frustrating.
But, yeah, and who knows? Maybe you play Diaz and then, you know, you have Baltissimo. I thought Bassong had a good game last night. Try to link up the attack, I think, is part of the issue, right? And trying to, like, they could break the lines a little bit against even Haiti in El Salvador, not so much against Honduras, but like try to keep some sustained possession and try to keep the ball in the final. Like I think about the first 25 minutes against Haiti, where Canada had the ball in the attacking third constantly. It was moving the ball around. Like that's what you kind of need. It's not going to happen often against Honduras, but if you can get that a couple times, or not against Mexico, but if you can get that a couple times, something needs to happen. Something needs to happen. And that's a Sunday night on One Soccer, Canada taking on Mexico for the right to go to the Tokyo Olympics. I don't know what year it is now. Is it 2020 or 2021? Anyways, the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. Before we go, we want to cover off a couple things. First off, ECPL is continuing. And if you're a PlayStation user, go ahead and sign up for that. The trials are ongoing. The Xbox trials happened this week. And Jose Hernandez of Cavalry FC is actually finished in the top eight. Someone told me he's in the top 60 FIFA 21 players in North America.
What?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We'll have to talk to Jose about that. That is unbelievable.
Good for him. Good for him.
I think he's trying to make a job, a streaming job out of it, which would be great. professional athlete streamers, why not? And then so I'm gonna be taking on a couple players this week to try to get ready for the PlayStation trials. Feel free to mock me online as you see fit. And then also something we should I should plug anyways is that we have a deep dive on the website going up today as you're listening to this. Charlie, I know you're kind of pumped about this story. I let you read it before it went live. Could you describe it?
Man, it's just the perfect combination of, you know, Canadian soccer in the 80s and really corny, strangely, like, very, 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 very strangely Canadian quasi bluegrass music.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. Anyway, I don't know if we've actually said. I mean, it's about the I've got the seven inch right here. 7 inch there. Yeah, it's about that that anthem that the Canadian team had when they went to the World Cup in 86 and how it's got a far more bizarre story than you might have even expected from something that already is kind of bizarre.
I'm sure those listening to this know the song because most people listening to this have been on the Voyagers forum at one point in their life. But the O Canada Will Proudly Play For You is the song. And I remember, you know, like I remember that being sort of a meme in our circles, you know, growing up with the game in this country. And it was something that was uploaded to YouTube and like, oh, this was the official anthem to Mexico 86. And then I ended up reaching out to the people that wrote it. And so that was Alan Clark, Bob McHugh, and then someone named Kim Kinraid, who now lives out in Halifax. They were originally all based in Edmonton. And Kim set up the record label. And long story short, this record, I think there was about 4,000 of them that were destroyed. because they couldn't sell them. So yeah, go ahead and read. I don't want to spoil too much on here, but long story short, shout out to Kim specifically for, you know, sending all this stuff too. He sent this VHS as well, which was the original VHS recording that he uploaded.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Anyways, shout out to them for having some great interviews over the last couple months, and I'll be giving away one of these 7 inches on Twitter today. I'm not sure exactly how I'm gonna do it, but yeah, because these things are super rare, Charlie. Like I think he said he destroyed somewhere between 3,500 to 4,000, and 5,000 of them were printed. And I talked to someone named Josh. Yeah,
boy, they didn't sell a lot of those.
No, they didn't. Well, and it was like And that's what made, for me, that's what makes the story, like, I don't know, I'm proud of it, obviously, but, like, what makes it so interesting is they all just sort of said, like, we tried. Like, Kim says, that essentially ended my record label, but he's like, the idea was good. It did end his record label. That was it. You'll read the quote on the website, and, like, I just want everyone to know that, like, when he said it, he hesitated, because I could tell he didn't want to let Bob and Alan down. Because he genuinely thought the song was great. Like, he thought, oh, why wouldn't this work? And yeah. I don't know. I thought there's a beauty in that. Why wouldn't this work in Canadian soccer, you know?
I think it's
And then
great.
It didn't.
If Canada makes the World Cup from this cycle, we got to bring it back.
We do.
It needs a cover or a reboot.
That would be an unreal cover. So I'll have to change the lyrics. We'll have to go back through the roster page. I'm not going to sing it yet. I'll sing it maybe later when we're all able to get back together at a bar. That would be a sweet karaoke, yeah. Actually. Can we do like a CPL karaoke night? We do this
with that and We Are One.
That would be brilliant. Okay, again, doubleheader on Sunday. The Canadian men's national team continuing World Cup qualifying against the Cayman Islands. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and then the Canadian under-23 team taking on Mexico after that, again on One Soccer, to try to go to the Tokyo Olympics. We'll have more next week and a recap of both tournaments by the Canadian men's national team, and also hopefully some CPL news as we get closer to a season. Until then, take care.